SNP's independence referendum 2 roadmap, no substitute for a mass movement and socialist policies statement from Socialist Party Scotland's executive committee. The SNP-led Scottish government's latest roadmap towards a second independence referendum, IndyRef 2, has been unveiled. Boris Johnson's Westminster government has also launched a five-step plan to save the union. Battle lines are being drawn for an explosive collision on the national question in the coming months. The SNP's roadmap illustrates two things. Firstly, the enormous pressure that is building on the SNP leadership as a result of the growing mood among the working class and young people in favour of an independent Scotland. There have now been 21 consecutive polls in Scotland showing majority support for the breakup of the UK. Among those aged 34 and under, a colossal 71% back independence. Moreover, the last few years have seen very large demonstrations organised by the likes of All Under One Banner demanding a second independence referendum. These have been out with the control and influence of First Minister Nicola Sturgeon and the SNP leadership. SNP division's opposition to what has been largely viewed as the cautious and timid approach of Sturgeon has also been reflected inside the SNP itself. A number of dissident voices were elected in ballots last year to leading internal SNP committees. Growing demands for a Plan B should, as seems inevitable, the Tories refuse a Section 30 order for a legal referendum have piled further pressure on the pro-capitalist leadership of the SNP. A long-lasting civil war inside the SNP, between supporters of former leader Alex Salmond and current leader Nicola Sturgeon, is also destabilising the party. At root, it reflects growing divisions on how to overcome the entrenched resistance of the capitalist class to Scottish independence. The SNP's internal warfare includes divisions over issues such as gender recognition and Salmond's sexual assault court case in 2020. The Tories will be hoping these divisions will weaken support for independence, and could impact the outcome of the May parliamentary election. However, is it still most likely that there will be a large majority for parties who support a second IndyRef in the May 2021 Scottish parliamentary election? Such an outcome would detonate an explosive confrontation between the Scottish working class and the capitalist establishment. This will put the pro-capitalist SNP leadership in a very difficult position. The roadmap is an attempt to head off demands from the independence movement for extra-parliamentary struggle and an illegal referendum. This pressure has, in part, been reflected in the new roadmap. The document restates the preferred position of the SNP, that it will request and receive a Section 30 order from Johnson after the election. As the SNP goes on to state, there could be no moral or democratic justification for denying that request. If the UK government were to adopt such a position, its position would be unsustainable both at home and abroad. So far, so much the same. The tweak this time is that the SNP intends to go ahead with a legal referendum, if one is refused by Westminster. This would leave the Johnson government with the option of delivering a Section 30 agreement, or, much more likely, refusing and going to the courts, to block a referendum if necessary. Secondly, the roadmap reveals that little has changed in the SNP's own strategic thinking. Nowhere in the roadmap does the SNP say it will hold a wildcat or an illegal referendum, if a Section 30 order is not forthcoming. The capitalist courts, which routinely are used by the bosses against trade union ballots, will be very unlikely to rule in favour of an independence referendum being legal, if Westminster has not given its agreement. If the courts and/or the Westminster government were to rule that the SNP can't organise a binding independence referendum, Sturgeon may seek a legal option, for example a referendum that could be advisory, or worded to ask for the opening up of negotiations on the possible terms of independence with Westminster, but falling short of declaring an independent state. It is likely that such a referendum would be met with a boycott campaign by the pro-union side as it was in the Catalonia referendum. That is not to rule out that under pressure from a mass movement the SNP could be forced, against its instincts, into sanctioning a referendum that was technically illegal. Particularly if it was in danger of losing large sections of its base of support among the working class too, for example, a new workers' party with fighting socialist policies. They will seek to avoid this at all costs, however. Either way, the response from the Tories and others will be to resist all options that could result in an independent Scotland. Changed conditions, as Socialist Party Scotland has consistently explained, this is not 2014. Tory PM David Cameron agreed to a Section 30 order because he was confident they would win a majority for Scotland remaining in the Union. Today, in the context of an economic crisis, the pandemic and majority support for independence in Scotland, that confidence has evaporated. The breakup of the UK, and it is Scotland, that is currently the weakest link in that chain, would be a catastrophe for the ruling class and their economic, strategic, and geopolitical interests. The knock-on impact on Northern Ireland and Wales would be dramatic. For these reasons, the capitalist class, including the Labour leadership under Keir Starmer, will oppose tooth and nail conceding an INDIR F2, probably while offering to concede more powers to Scotland as a trade-off. But the SNP leadership's entire strategy is to rely only on their electoral mandate in May 2021 to use as a lever, backed up by the boss's cords if necessary. The SNP's Deputy First Minister, John Swinney, underlined the Scottish Government's real position by stating, "What the proposals that we have set out do is define exactly how, on a legal basis, we can have a referendum on independence. That is the government's preferred option, and that's the strategy that we will pursue, should we be successful in securing a majority in favour of that proposition in the elections in May." As the BBC's Scottish political reporter, Philip Sim, put it, she, Nicola Sturgeon, wants any new vote to be unimpeachable in its legitimacy, to have international recognition, particularly from the EU, which she would like to see Scotland rejoin someday. The pro-big business EU's refusal to recognise the illegal Catalonia independence referendum in 2017 looms large in this equation. Ultimately, the main European powers, even with Britain out of the EU, will provide hostile opposition to Scottish independence. They fear such a development would also add further to secessionist movements in Spain, Belgium, Italy and across the continent. The only power capable of overcoming the entrenched opposition of British and international capitalism to self-determination for Scotland is the mobilisation of the working class in a mass movement for democratic rights. That would involve not only mass demonstrations for the right to INDIR F2, but also widespread and coordinated strike action by trade unions and occupations of workplaces, schools and colleges by workers and young people. Moreover, such a movement would have to appeal to workers in England, Wales, and Ireland for their support for the right to decide Scotland's constitutional future. Socialist policies to do that effectively, and to cut across the concerted attempts to divide the working class through, for example, using English nationalism and religious sectarianism by sections of the ruling class, a socialist approach is essential. If the mass movement in Scotland was to adopt the idea of fighting for an independent socialist Scotland, based on public ownership, an end to all forms of austerity and massive investment in housing, jobs and public services, this would find fertile ground among tens of millions of workers in the rest of Britain who have suffered through more than a decade of austerity. By making clear that the struggle in Scotland is one not just for democracy, but also for the social and economic emancipation of the oppressed working class from capitalism, a united movement for a voluntary socialist confederation of an independent Scotland with England, Wales, and Ireland would take root. The building of a new mass workers' party, based on the trade unions and the independence movement, is a vital step in ensuring the struggle for self-determination and socialism go hand in hand. The Scottish Trade Unionist and Socialist Coalition, supported by Socialist Party Scotland, will be standing on that programme in the May elections. Our candidates will stand on a pledge of living on a workers' wage, for public ownership and socialist planning of the economy, for a real recovery for the working class majority from the COVID crisis, and for a mass working class struggle for INDIR F2. Scottish TUSC Conference, Saturday 20 February. The Scottish Trade Unionist and Socialist Coalition, of which Socialist Party Scotland is a core component, is convening this conference to discuss the Scottish parliamentary elections on 6 May. For details and registration go to facebook.com web link TUSC. New book, Scotland and the National Question, A Marxist Approach, 150 pages, £8. To order, go to socialistpartiskatland.org.uk.